It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
But our producer.
The women in my life are so mean.
But our producer laughs at
that. For those of you just joining us, who is everyone, I just said, fuck you, Ezzy. Because we recorded about a minute and a half, and then Ezzy walked across the keyboard and ruined it. So, we're back now. Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I have enough material. I'm just doing the same joke. So, hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that, in an emergency, serves as a heat-saving blanket. So, if you are out in the cold and worried about hypothermia, can wrap yourself in our warm, dulcet tones, and you will survive. I promise. Are you going to do your disclaimer? Or are you just going to let him sue us
this
now?
This should not be construed as medical advice.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on this podcast. That's an old joke. Kids today aren't going to get that much
that's
longer.
That's probably true.
Anyway, I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 201.
Yeah, it's still, yeah.
Which I've
you
said
were
before.
Confused,
wow.
You thought maybe
deja
now it's
vu.
202. Which I was saying now is the intermediate level because the intro courses are the 100s, and the ones below 100, let's all be honest, those are the easy A dummy courses that you have to take sometimes to fulfill certain science requirements. The universe and its structure. Chemistry is everywhere. And then the 200 level courses are the serious ones. So you don't really take them unless you're really considering a major. So those of you who are actually pursuing a degree in the Magical Talking Hat, welcome to where we get into the interesting stuff. For those of you just joining us, you clearly tested out of the intro levels. You had some advanced placement or something.
Here's your gun.
Ezzy, I will punch you in the face. Get away. Get.
She wants to go that way.
Yeah, no, don't go that way. I will kill your face. For those of you just joining us, I'm going to kill Ezzy's face. Also, here's how the show goes. And we've been doing it for 201 episodes, so trust us. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All the wonderful people of the world like to email this address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with stuff. Comments, questions, topics, short little emails that the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's ecclesiastical servants. Nowadays, I just go with E-words. Do this podcast where we draw. Sorry, Ezzy disappeared into the mountain of cardboard again, and it's intriguing. And she might be dead in there. I don't know. Anyway, we, the ecclesiastical servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. And tonight, we're doing it twice. Because we are getting together with some friends. Both of us, actually. For once, William and I are actually going to be together next Thursday, but not recording it.
Yeah.
So live with that. We're some friends that we used to have in common who moved away are back. I don't even know why they're back.
I don't either.
For some reason, they're visiting, and so we're all going to have dinner. It's going to be awesome. And we thought about recording the podcast that way, but I don't know. People were like, yeah, maybe. And William was like, how are we going to do it? Are we going to have it? And I finally was like, you know what? I feel like this is making trouble for people rather than being awesome. So let's just do two now. So that's what we're going to do. So, what was your name? William, how was your week?
I don't have anything really you know, interesting to report.
That's good because I have so much to talk
about.
No,
I know you do.
No, you don't even know. I have so much to talk
about. Okay.
I have a lot of things, most of which are today. Today's been a very good day.
Good day, okay.
Well, it started with something bad, and then the rest of the day has been super awesome.
Okay.
But you're right. I also have some older bad stuff to talk about. You do know about that. And that is Assassin's Creed 4. No, that's not true. That's not the bad stuff. I'm actually really enjoying Assassin's Creed 4. I'm playing a lot of it. It's cool. I played enough of it. Hey, look, as you came back, I will still kill your face. Oh, God damn it.
Tried to do it again.
You got her to come, but she had to come via the... we're good. She didn't do it this time. Oh, bitches be crazy. For those of you who really think I was misogynist for saying that, I was repeating my wife's
what
sentiment
the
in the
said,
other room.
Yes.
So we're both misogynists. Anyway, yeah, no. Assassin's Creed 4 is really fun. I'm really getting into it. The pirate stuff is fun. The story's starting to get interesting, but I think I've talked about that before. The big one, the first big one is, my grandfather died. My grandfather that I talked about recently, because I saw him on Thanksgiving, and remember he was just not even there. Mm. One step above vegetative, really. And so, it's good. He was old, he was barely with us, he was 99, he didn't recognize anybody anymore. Mm. He apparently was real smooth. Like, he had a pretty good day the day before. He saw a bunch of people. He actually ate. In fact, he ate his supper twice. He ate it and said, "That was good. Can I have that again?" And they gave it to him again.
Wow.
And he went to bed that night. And apparently, because he likes to wander, they check on him every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And one 15 minutes, he was sleeping. Next 15 minutes, dead. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother is sort of already over it. They weren't together. I mean... they're married, but he was living across the hall because of the dementia in both of them. And she is sort of really eager to get back to her routine and sort of put it behind her, which, you know, 99. Okay. Whatever works for you.
How many years were they married?
Oh, for fucking ever. probably since the 30s, I think. Mm. They were in undergrad together, so. Mm. Long ass time. Oh, it was at least 75 years, because they had a party for that. I wasn't at that party, but it was at least 75 years.
And that's been some time ago.
Some, yeah. And so it's fine. But it's funny about death of people that, you know, in general, everybody reacts differently.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But one person can also react very differently to different deaths in ways that you don't, I mean, not just simple like, oh, if you're closer to this person, you're more affected or whatever. Like, it's just sort of all over the place. Mm. And I know I personally, like, I've been very lucky. I have not had to deal with a lot of death of people close to me, but I've had some. And my reactions always kind of surprise me. Mm. And this one did too. I pretty much was okay. But I noticed at work I was acting a little weird. I was being kind of angry. I was being kind of snappish at people, getting very easily frustrated. And finally, by about 11 o'clock, I was like, clearly something's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it has to do with that. So I took the rest of the afternoon off and came home, played some video games, took a nap, talked to my cats a little bit. And I pretty much went through it okay. So things are all right now. But it was a little bit weird.
Yeah, it's really hard to know how you're going to react. I mean, my grandmother had dementia for several years before she passed. Her daughter died before she did, and she wasn't even aware of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she died, and there was a lot of feeling of relief because you just felt like it couldn't have been a good way to live.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, you felt, I don't know, you just couldn't help but feel bad, and it's the way those emotions kind of compete with one another, or I don't know what it is, but
I'm sure it's very much tied up in where you are in your life right now and
sure.
other stuff you're dealing
sure,
with.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's probably complex on a level of like why you dream about what you dream about in a given
minute. Well, and I think also when someone's mind goes like that, you kind of you lose them.
Yeah.
So you mourn that loss, but you mourn it in a very particular way. It's like you don't mourn it as if they're actually gone.
Yeah.
So there's all that left that you don't even really think about until they're actually gone.
And in your mind, you're like, it's done. Yeah. So now we're just waiting. But then you realize there's more stuff there. Yeah, and I think there is some of that because it was very traumatic to me when I saw him. But yeah, you're right. There was sort of other stuff. And it's stupid because in my head, I think the frustration comes from knowing who my grandfather was and that's now gone from the world. But I'm like, it's not like it was going to come back.
No.
It's not like at 99 he was going to wake up one day and suddenly, even if somehow the dementia was gone, I knew him when he wasn't demented but was still really, really old and in the retirement home. And he wasn't what he was then.
I just think there's something inside human beings that just, you just don't want to accept it.
Yeah.
You want to think. I mean, when my mom passed away, it was one of those situations where she was not breathing on her own, and she wanted us to get her off
you
of
might
the,
want to adjust the mic, your levels are
oh sorry
she, I, it was on the floor earlier so.
she wanted us to get her off the machine and stuff, and the doctors told us that it wasn't very likely that she'd survive that, and we talked about it, and it was a very hard decision to make, of course. But you know, and at the time I thought, okay, well, this is going to be it, you know. And they removed all that stuff, and she didn't seem to be having any trouble at first,
mm-hmm.
probably for a good hour or so. Even to the extent where some of us, it was getting close to, I mean, they took her off the machines and stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
And so some of us were thinking, well, could we go to lunch maybe? I mean, you know, should we do that? Because she seemed fine. And yeah, I think I just totally convinced myself that nothing was going to happen. And then, of course, it did. And, you know, you just, I'm kind of the opposite of you. The first time I remember someone dying who was close to me was when I was 2 years old. And I, you know, my dad's parents had him pretty late in their life. So all of their brothers and sisters, and they both had, well, not my grandma, but my grandfather had a pretty big family, so we were going to funerals all the time, people who I'd gotten to know.
Yeah.
And you just, for me, I just have accepted a long time ago that there's just a part of me that just was never going to accept it. It's just never going to accept that someone dying is okay, or that, you know, there's always a part of me that's going to think, kind of like what you were just saying, that there's like this part of you that thinks they can get better.
Or they can get less old.
Yeah, yeah, something can happen and they can come back.
The singularity will happen before they die.
Yeah, yeah. You get something in your head like that because you just can't let it go until you absolutely have to let it go. And I don't think even then you totally let it go. You know, like,
yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why.
Well, and it comes in phases. And I hate doing this because, like I said, I haven't had a lot of experience with death. And the closest and most involved usually has been the cats. But so I keep drawing parallels to that.
Because pets become part
of your
family.
But we do that even now. We just, like, there'll be one night where one of us is thinking about Tigger and gets kind of depressive or whatever about it. And, I mean, he died years ago, and Gray Boy's died since, like it's, that's old news. Like, we've spent more time sort of without him than with him at this point. Like, it's very odd, but it still happens. Yeah. And my first serious death I remember, it was my great grandmother, Jessie, who I was very close to. And I had gone away for a weekend with my aunt to stay with her for a weekend. And my parents came to get me, and I'm getting my stuff in the bedroom, and mom comes in and she tells me Grandma Jessie died. And I remember actually saying, I don't want to think about this right now because I'm having a real good time. Can I think about it later? And she said, yeah, that's fine. And so we went about business, and later it was said, and I mean, I remember going to her funeral, and I cried like hell, but at the time that was how I dealt with that. And I mean, there's just stuff. My mom's sister died, and I did okay with that, And then at a certain point, I felt it was really important to talk to her when it looked like it was going to be near the end. I was here, and so we called on the phone. And in talking to her, I'm starting to tear up a little now about it, so I'm not going to go into what I talked about. But it was mostly thank you stuff, and I lost it in the call. And that was like the breaking point for me, and after that, her death became a huge thing for me. And I mean, I've made peace with it since, but it was really hard on me, but wasn't until that conversation. But this one has been fun. Like I said, I needed that afternoon, and then I was okay.
Yeah.
At least I think so. I mean, you know, who knows? But
well, yeah,
I think
right,
I'm fine.
That's right.
All right, so that's out of the way. We saw a movie.
Okay.
In the theater. We went and saw Into the Woods.
Oh.
And I think, I'm going to say I think we liked it. We are both big fans of the play, and in particular the sort of famous original Broadway production of it with Bernadette Peters and Chip Zian.
Okay, so is it a, is this something that was a play, then it became a musical, or was it?
No, this was a Stephen Sondheim musical.
Okay.
That has been around for a while now.
Right, and I've seen the Bernadette Peters one.
Yeah, yeah. That was the original thing. And then now this is a movie of it.
And it's still musical?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And it was good. I enjoyed it. Very good production values. The big one for me that I was worried about is very good casting and performances. I was very nervous about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really liked some of the people in the original,
sure.
Bernadette Peters included.
Sure.
Meryl Streep took Bernadette Peters' part, and I'm like, Meryl Streep's great. Part of me is like, Bernadette Peters is still alive, goddammit. Pretty sure she's still acting on Broadway, what the fuck. But Meryl Streep did a great job. But everybody did a pretty good job. There were things they changed quite clearly because it was a movie instead of a play, and I get that, and I'm okay with that, because it wasn't just a play filmed. Like, it was definitely a movie.
Mm.
And there's stuff you have to change that just doesn't work the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There is stuff they clearly had to change because the play's like 3 hours long and they didn't want that. And I'm mostly okay with that. I mean, part of me is like, you know, we like the play, just do it. But I understand. That's not marketable.
Okay.
The movie's like 2 hours in 4 minutes, so I get that. And then there's other stuff that they changed and I don't really know why in some cases. But in general, I think it was a good interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did well, and I was glad I saw it. I definitely liked the original better, and I don't know that I need to see this again, but it was enjoyable. I do feel they trolled me once.
What do you mean?
There is a song in the play that was not in this, largely because They altered a couple things that took a couple of ancillary characters out, and this sort of tied into that. But they basically did the scene in which that song happens, and then at a certain point during a part with no dialogue or anything, they started playing the music in the background for that song, and that song is not a refrain, so it's not like it's the melody doesn't show up anywhere else. And they played it, and then they just cut to another scene. And I'm like, you're just fucking with me. You're just like, we know, and we know you know, and we know you know we know, but no, you don't get it. And I'm like, God damn it.
I forgot, though, then they did do the reprise later, even though there was nothing to reprise.
Oh, did they? I must have missed that. Apparently, they reprised it later. There's a couple of children roles that are normally done by young adults. In the movie, they are done by children. We were sketchy on that, but seeing it, that makes total sense. Like, it would have been weird if it wasn't.
Okay.
And the kids were good, so. It's less, the original musical is definitely a comedy, and this one is somewhat, but it's less of a comedy. But it's good. I liked it. If you liked the original, I say you should be fine seeing it. If you never saw the original, I say you should be fine seeing it. If your options are see the original or see this, see the original. Absolutely. But otherwise...
Or see this one first, then see the original.
That's not a bad plan either, yeah. Yeah. So, that's what I have to say about that. Oh, we also started watching Gallivant.
Don't know what that is.
It's a new show on ABC. It is a half-hour medieval fantasy musical sitcom, basically. It is a musical set in the 13th century about a hero named Gallivant who's in love with this woman. And then an evil king shows up and decides he wants her, and so he kidnaps her and takes her away. And this is all the prologue. This isn't the actual... This is the first 5 minutes they explain this part. And takes her away, and Gallivant goes after him, and Gallivant's a big hero. He's always been a hero for years, and so, you know, he's all killing through the guards. And in fact, he's so good at one point, he just tells some of the guards, you should just fall down now, and they do... stuff, and he gets in there and he does this stirring speech about how, you know, you can give her riches and power, but I can only give her true love. And then it turns out she's had time to think about it, and she's decided she'll stick with riches and power. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to a year later, and our hero is now a reclusive drunk, and a different princess shows up needing his assistance. Because her kingdom has been overrun by this same evil king, and she needs him to essentially come out of depressive retirement and save things, and that's the plot of the show, is what happens then.
I see.
And it's a musical, and it's weird, and it's also heavily cliched. Everything in it is very cliched. It has tons of cameos. Like, everybody, they just borrowed them for a while. The most recent one I saw involved a cameo by John Stamos, playing a rival knight named Sir John Ham, who was very fond of making yo mama jokes to Gallivant. And in the midst of this, Gallivant finally said, look, it's 1256. The yo mama jokes are played out. Seriously, stop. He's like, you mean like yo mama? He's like, no, I'm serious. Please. They're old. You need to give them a rest. If it weren't a half hour, I might have more issue. It's not great, but it's entertaining. I don't know. we're still going to watch it. It's kind of fun. I also just today have decided I am going to watch Fresh Off the Boat.
I don't know what that is either.
It is a brand new sitcom, loosely based off of a memoir written by a gentleman, basically about being an Asian American in this country. And the trailer, the previews, while looking amusing, also looked incredibly offensive to me. In the same way that we've talked about before, the new show Black-ish, mm-hmm. is a sitcom, Black-ish, that Lawrence Fishburne and Anthony, I don't remember, but a well-known black actor, it's a sitcom about this black guy and his family who live in LA, and his determination that his kids don't know enough about black culture, and they're acting too much like white kids, and then hijinks ensue. Which I found just a terrible premise, and so I didn't want to watch it. And this is like going to be right after that, and it looks like the Asian equivalent to it. But today, Trish found an interview or an essay by the original author of the book and his struggle with this show. And him being very, like, angry about what they were doing with it and trying to fight back and had some successes and some failures. And his eventual seeing it and sort of realizing that it's not what he hoped for, but what he hoped for isn't really possible in the world right now, and that this is a good step. One of the big things that hit me is he and his friend saw the pilot or whatever, and his friend says, you did it. You got Asians on TV. And I thought about it, and I'm like, dude, there aren't... I can't think of shows that, like... I mean, they have an Asian, but, like, Asians... And so I think I'm going to watch it, at least to start with, and see. Mm. I'm kind of intrigued. But it doesn't start till February, so we'll see about that. Today has been a very interesting day. Started off less good. Well, this whole week, we're finally back at the gym full strength. Today was the fourth day in a row.
Okay.
And Jesus Christ. I'm dying.
Jesus Christ was there?
No. Every part of me is sore.
Oh, Jesus Christ wasn't there?
No. I did discover today, though.
You have to admit, whatever you say from here on out, it's not going to be as cool as seeing Jesus Christ.
There was a cool thing.
Gym.
The leg press, where you sit on a thing and you push a plate forward and there's weight attached to it.
Sure.
I can't. I'm too fat for it, sort of. So I have to set it at a level that's technically too narrow for me to get in. Because if I sit it far enough back that I can just get in it, I can only push the plate like 2 inches.
Oh, because it's too far away.
Exactly. So I get it too in there, and I sort of climb in the top, and then my weight sort of pushes the plate out, and then I get in it, and I can move.
Oh, okay.
And it's dumb, but it's what I do, and it works. And today, I did it, as usual, but I discovered I'm now skinny enough that I can pull my legs far enough back that it takes the weight off the plate, which means every rep, I'm dealing with the initial inertia, which means it is now a way harder and more effective workout. I couldn't even do all the sets I usually do, and it just killed my legs. So this is a whole new level of work, which is good, because my legs, mostly because of the nerve damage, I haven't been able to really build up the muscles as fast, but this should help a lot. So I'm excited about that. Today I officially decided I'm giving up on the Codex Alarum, which is the series of books that I was listening to audiobooks at the gym by Jim Butcher, the guy who did Dresden Files. This is his fantasy series. And I've been listening to the first one, and a fan who's a friend of mine has been saying, hold through it, because this one's kind of long and drawn out and slow, but if you can get through the first book, then it gets, you know, that's not a problem later on. That's not why I'm quitting. It got kind of rapey.
Really?
Yes. And here's the thing. I need to explain this because I feel like it seems hypocritical sometimes. Because I will read some really dark and weird shit. And I understand. I am not advocating narratives should not ever include concepts of rape. Because that's a silly, unrealistic whitewashing. Like, some stories, that kind of evil is part of it, and that's a thing. Like, cause, I mean, I'm the guy who hates most young adult books because I feel like they're presented as this traumatic situation that's then whitewashed, and, like, nobody swears, and nobody actually hurts people, and, you know, all this shit. So that always annoys me. But here's the thing. How you present it is a thing. If you need me to know that there are characters or aspects of this world that are that cruel that you're going to have victims of torture and sexual assault, I understand that's part of your narrative or whatever, and you can have that. And I won't enjoy those parts, but if it's compelling enough, you know, I'll get through it and I'll move on. Battlestar Galactica was like that. There's a part in the Battlestar Galactica series that involved some rape, and it was really disconcerting to watch, but it was part of one episode. It was not particularly graphic. It served a very big point, and we went on, and there was a thing. This is sort of being gratuitously long and descriptive, and I mean, I get it. I get how bad the bad people are in this instance. And I get how traumatizing this is to the victims in question. We're just spending too long and we're taking it to new levels. It probably doesn't help that I'm listening to it in audiobook format from a female narrator who is a pretty good dramatic reader. That probably doesn't help. Mm. And it's third person, so I just get, you know, everything. But at a certain point, I was like, it's probably not even much longer, because I talked to Trish, and Trish has read it, and she didn't even remember this until I said something. I'll bet you, within a chapter, it never comes up again. But I'm like, I don't want to finish the scene. And there's enough books out there that I'm never going to read all the books I want to read. And these books aren't particular. I mean, they're fine, they're good, but I've just decided it's not worth it. So this is weird. This is not a decision I would have made in the past. But, I mean, I wanted to make the distinction because there are things like when I read Chronicles of the Thomas Covenant, friends of mine couldn't believe it because the protagonist raped somebody fairly early on. And I'm like, yeah. And it was, I mean, it was dark and it was disturbing, but it was a major character point, and it was not, like, it was a couple of paragraphs that were disturbing, and we went on from there, and it mattered to the story, and it was a bad thing, but, you know, I mean, it's not a deal breaker. If that's something, I mean, I really prefer when you can do narrative without that, and there are ways to make people seem evil without having to resort to that.
Right.
But I understand that if you're exploring certain aspects of nature and things like that, that you're going to run into that discordance in some stories, and I'm not saying people need to not, but in this case I'm like, it's not worth it to me. Going through that is not worth even the rest of the 5-volume series, and so I just stopped. And that's not something I would have done in the past, but I'm like, I literally unplugged it, and I was really kind of bothered for that the whole, like, it made me mad. And for a little bit, I'm like, I'm so mad at Jim Butcher right now, I should stop reading the Dresden Files. I'm like, no, I love the Dresden Files. They're very compelling to me.
Yeah.
They're very cool. I like them. But this, and I shouldn't be mad about this. I should, it's art. It's, I've decided it is not worth it to me.
Hmm.
Doesn't mean the books are bad. Doesn't mean other people shouldn't read them. I just had such a visceral reaction that it was kind of tricky. But that was the only bad thing today.
Okay.
The rest of the day is full of awesomeness,
okay,
including the leg press thing I already talked about.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
And then, and the fact that 4 days in a row we went to the gym so far, and tomorrow will be the 5th day, and we get our reward bagel, which we haven't had one of those in a long time. If we go all 5 days, we get to have a bagel in the morning. We haven't done that in a while. We're very excited about that bagel. Baby, you excited about the bagel?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. but... Then I go to the doctor, my usual every 3 or 4 months visit, make sure we don't have to cut off my toes or anything like that. And I know it's going to be good because I'm doing awesome, you know,
sure,
losing the weight and stuff. Put me on scale. It's great. I've lost, I think, 13 pounds by their measure since I was last there. They're real happy about that. I've lost about 30 pounds total since August. That's great. And my blood pressure's good. All the numbers are good. It's great. Trish and I are going on a cruise soon. I don't know if I mentioned it on here, to Mexico.
Hmm.
And so I needed a hepatitis vaccine. CDC says you go to Mexico, get a hepatitis vaccine. So I got that. I'm going to have to go back in a month for that, whatever. It's a good visit. It's great. All my numbers are good. I'm getting healthier. It's great. My doctor's happy. It's wonderful. And then I'm going to check out. And today, all the medical assistants and stuff I dealt with, all friendly people, all talkative people, all thought I was funny. It was great. I had a good time. Sometimes they're not, you know, a little terse or a little weird. Like, no, so I had a good time. I'm having fun at the hospital. It's wonderful. but I'm waiting in line because I got a schedule for the next thing. I'm looking at my little papers they gave me, and I'm seeing all the figures and stuff. And I see my diagnoses, where I've got generalized anxiety disorder and, you know, type 2 diabetes and morbid obesity and all this. And morbid obesity is because I have a BMI between 50 and 59.9, which is really funny to me. I'm like, so can you have more than 59.9? And is there another category, like super morbid obesity, or like you're just dead, you just don't know it yet, obesity? Like, I don't even know. But then I'm looking down and there's the part where today's measurements are. And the BMI is full of crap. And I think I've explained this before. Apparently the issue is BMI was designed to be an aggregate figure. Like, populations are measured based on that, not individuals.
And BMI stands for body mass
index. Body mass index, and it's really damn close to just being a height weight chart. And I thought it had some other slight figure involved, but okay, it's just height weight and fuck 'em. But and it's meant, it was meant to be populations of people, not individuals. So it's really full of shit. But I'm looking at today's numbers, and my BMI is 46 point something. And I'm like, but that's not in that range.
There, yeah.
So I'm officially just regular obese. I am no longer morbidly obese. Now I'm just like, I'm a fat guy, but it probably won't kill me. And seriously, I don't know when I've not been morbidly obese. So I'm super psyched about this.
No, yeah.
This is very cool for me. So I was just overjoyed about that all day. I was having a great time with that. And also, it was really sunny today. And comparatively very warm, high in the upper 30s.
Pretty warm.
That was nice.
Snow's melting.
And sunny. The sun. The sun makes so much difference to me.
Yeah, you've said that
before. It's really crazy. As great as all the other stuff is, I think the sun was the big factor today of why I was in such a good mood. But yeah, I'm officially obese, and that's awesome because it's not morbid anymore. So that was cool. Oh, and as if the universe were just giving me a little nudge, as soon as that happened, where I discovered that, and then I go in line and I schedule for the next thing, then I have to go to the lab to get the blood work. So I go, I'm walking down the thing, and I'm walking past a long waiting room with a big window so you can see in there. And it's the waiting room I'm going to go into, but it has like two different ends. And I have to go down the far one because I go to the lab. I say, I'm here for you to steal my blood, you terrible vampires. And they say, here, take this and go sit down. And then I go into the other side of the waiting room. Mm-hmm. So this is the waiting room I'm going to go in, but at this moment I'm walking past it. And there's a gentleman in there facing the window. Little older than me. Quite a bit fatter than me. And he clearly has recently fallen. And about four nurses are having to help get him back up. And when I was in the waiting room afterwards, I heard sort of the aftermath thing. And he's not a patient. He was there because of his wife. And he was trying to get into a chair and he stumbled and his knee buckled because his knee can't take a lot of weight. And he's got a rod in one of his legs and he's got a cane and everything. And I mean, he's got lots of problems now. What do you want to bet? A lot of them stemmed from the weight.
Well, probably.
It seems like. But and the whole thing, just I'm like, if I, what is it, 2 years ago now? Whenever I sort of really got the diabetes and turned things around. If I, from that point, I just kept going, by the time I was his age, I could easily have been that guy.
Yeah, probably.
And if I don't keep it up, I could still turn into that guy. And so I thought, I was like, you know, that's the sign right there. I'm doing really good. And I need to continue because I don't want, I mean, poor bastard, but I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was a good day. But now I'm here with you, so that's all over.
Sorry.
That's okay, I'll live.
I hate to ruin your day.
Should we go to the hat?
Okay.
All right. I'm not crying, people. I have a stuffy nose. I have a stuffy nose like all winter. I think because the house is closed up, and so I'm just in here with the cat dander, and so I have this low-level sinus stuff all the time. What have you got for us today, Mr. Jones?
Oh. From nobody in particular? Anonymous, I guess you would say.
It doesn't actually say nobody in particular?
Nope. It's just blank.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Assume time travel is possible.
All right, done.
But... only in one direction of your choice.
Left.
So, wait a minute. What if I choose the future and then decide, I think I'm going to choose the... Do I only get to choose once? I must only get to choose once.
Well, is that the whole question?
No, I'm just trying to figure out... Okay, then it says, would you visit the future or the past? Assuming you could only go one direction...
Well, yeah. If you didn't only get to choose once, what we're saying is assume time travel only allows you to travel in one direction at a time. Which,
fuck okay, you, of course okay. It does. Yeah, okay, well, which one would you choose? Also, can I come back? What if I can't come back? That's not really part.
Let's say you can, because we want, as usual... For those of you who are new to the show, we have to eliminate all the extraneous things that cause William to say, oh, I wouldn't do anything. And there's a lot of them. And in this case, if we say, well, then you have to leave your time forever, he'd be like, no, I'd probably stay here. So let's assume you can come back, but you can't go in the other direction at all except at your normal rate of 1 minute.
Well, you wouldn't go anywhere if you couldn't come back.
Yeah, but I would still answer the goddamn question. Because that would not be the game. I would automatically assume if we could come back, because Otherwise, it's not an interesting question to ask because they'll say, no, I'd stay here. And I don't know that's true. If Trish was coming with me, I might go. I don't know.
Really? Where would you go?
I'm not sure yet.
At...
You answer first.
Oh, you want me to answer first while you're thinking about it?
Yes. It's a difficult
one. What if I want to think about it? Well, why don't we just both sit here silently
dude,
and think
you
about
haven't
it?
Done that for 40-some years. I don't know why you would start now.
What? I haven't thought about something?
Exactly.
Oh.
See? Proof. Right there. That sound you're hearing in the background, possibly, is the heater kicking on.
I would...
I feel like you're not going to remember the question by the time you answer it. And you're looking at the paper.
I am... I mean, there's one answer here that seems like the most obvious to my brain, but I'm not sure
go
why.
Go visit Jesus?
No.
Go visit P.T. Barnum?
The past is what, like... It seems like to pop into my head like, yeah, obviously I'm going to go to the past. But I don't really know... I can't explain why... That's my knee-jerk, very strong reaction.
I have a theory.
I mean, I do know. I'd like to see Mom again. I'd like to visit ancestors who I've studied about, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I know why, but why so much? I mean, I'm sure the future interests me. I write about just about everything I've ever written in terms of speculative fictions about the future, so you'd think I'd want to go there.
But the past is full of known quantities that you are interested in visiting. The future is too much of a gamble. You might get there and be like, this sucks. Or you might get there and say, this is really boring. Or there's a gamble with the future. And obviously there's some gamble with the past. I mean, this is goddamn time travel. But there's less of a gamble because you're like, I'm going to visit this person who I know was in the world then.
That's part of it. I think related to that is I spend a lot of my time, actually my whole life, I've spent most of my time and attention on thinking about doing things to build a particular future, you know, for the world, for my kid, you know, stuff like that. So
for Milch Dallas.
I'm clearly interested in the future.
Later the Melcher Delosian Empire.
I'm clearly interested in the future and how it turns out, but for some reason, if you say, well, do you want to go see how it turns out? I don't even have a... There's nothing in me that says, oh, yeah, I just want to go and see. Because I...
Don't want to just go and see?
Maybe it's because... These stories people tell, like in Back to the Future, where the past and the future are already out there and you can get off your timeline and go back to one or the other.
Yeah.
I guess for me, intuitively, the future just doesn't even exist. Like, I could go there, but it might not be the future that actually comes to
be.
Yeah. Especially if now that I've seen it, I'm going to go back and maybe do something very different than I was going to do.
Yeah.
So...
These are considerations. We also have the butterfly effect if you're going to go in the past.
Well, the thing is, when you go into the
future... One could argue the past is... This is always a funny thing, though. You're always only going to ruin the timeline in relation to where you are.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you go into the future, right, then to go back, you're going back into the past, which presumably has already happened. So the future you go to...
But we never think of it that way. We're like, oh, we're going to change the future. I'm like, but to future people, that's fucking up their timeline.
That's right.
But we never think about it that way.
But, so, you know, I...
Like, I'd go step on a butterfly right now. What the fuck does that do to them in the future? Huh? We don't even know.
So, yeah, there's something about the future that just seems like... Almost like you can't go there.
Well, there's another
consideration. It's meaningless to go there. But the past is something that really happened.
Yeah.
That you, like you were saying, you can go back. It's
much
kind
more of a tourist destination.
It's kind of that known quantity thing you're talking about, but it's not just that I have something I want to see there. It's that I know there is something to see there. And the future just seems like the only meaning the future has to me is in what I do today to shape it. And otherwise, it doesn't exist for you to just go to. I just can't.
I do kind of want to see how Avengers 2 does. No, there is another consideration that I thought of while you were going on. I didn't pay attention. Whatever you were saying. So we can't currently in our non-note card universe travel into the past. We can travel into the future. Just at a rate of 1 minute per 1 minute. Like, we are moving into the future. So theoretically we get to see it. But we don't get to see the past.
Yeah, I think there's a point to that too, and how I would answer the question, because the future is something I will eventually see. I mean,
but who knows how much in our lifetimes you could be able to get digitized, and then you'll be more. You don't even know.
You don't even know how far into the future you're going.
But you know you're not going to be able to go back to 1983.
But then again, even if my lifespan is limited, let's say I want to go 200 years into the future, for what purpose? To, you know, because by 200 years in the future, anything that I want
to check out the PlayStation 42.
Anything I did in my life, whatever impact it had, is going to be kind of diluted by then. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, so here's a future that I, you know, by this time, it might be that I.
So you think you would feel much less of a connection to it? Even if it wasn't a mutable one, if it was just there, you'd be like, but this doesn't tie to me. Whereas, of course, going to the past. And that's the thing. You're not going to go to the past and have dinner with Jesus or whatever. You're going to go to the past and visit your great Meemaw or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mostly interested in ancestors and stuff. I mean, I might do stuff like that, too. Meet historical figures or whatever, if I could. But, yeah, I don't know. So for some reason, for all the reasons I already said, I guess, and some of the ones that you brought up, the future just doesn't seem like a place you can visit, or a place that would be interesting to visit, or something. I don't know.
So then we take, we're going to play a game of Marry, Fuck, Kill with various historical figures.
What? What are you saying?
There's a game that terrible people play. There's actually a slightly nicer version, too. It's called Marry, Fuck, Kill. And you basically name three individuals and say you are required to marry one of them, have sex with one of them, and kill one of them. So which is which? This is a hypothetical game people play.
Why?
I don't know. People like to do weird hypotheticals. It's like the same, remember, would you rather this or this, you know? Would you rather have to eat dirt or have to shove a honeybee up your butt? I don't know.
People have often tried to play that game with me, and I don't.
I know a milder version that I used to know, which wasn't Marry, Fuck, Kill. It was one of them is three people again. One of them you're going to marry. One of them you're going to have a really good friendship with, and one of them you're going to have like a one night stand with. And I'm like, that's less scary, but. Yeah, no, I didn't intend to do it. I just thought it was hilarious to propose it to you with historical figures. I also liked the idea of taking the time travel thing just so you can go back and do Marry, Fuck, Kill. Alright, Eleanor Roosevelt, Salome, and Hitler.
So what's your answer to the question?
I think also, I don't know. I mean, it really... I need to know more about the time travel paradigm because I'm worried about the timeline. But assuming that's not going on, assuming this is a very much... Let's assume, to make it easier, that essentially we cannot change anything.
Well, yeah, I was assuming that already.
I don't know. Your original explanation about the future kind of included some of that.
That was about how I perceive the future,
therefore
it doesn't really impress itself on my mind as a place to go.
Well, see, and I like to play this little fantastic game. I've daydreamed about this before, of me being able to travel into the past and have conversations with people about, like, sometimes with friends of mine and sometimes with, like, famous historical figures about what the choices of their life did. But in every situation, I go back, I have the conversation, and then I have to, like, wipe their mind of the experience. And then I'm like, and that happens to me too. I'm like, I want to know what my future self would think about whatever, but I don't want to screw up my future self. So I'm like, this would be the same thing. I can come back from the future and tell me what happened, but then I have to wipe my mind. And then I'm like, maybe that really happened, and I don't even know. Ooh. But, yeah, so this, that's the same thing here, because you're right. Your knowledge of the future is going to change the future. So I'm like, well, what if we wiped our mind? And then I'm like, well, what if we already did this? You and I traveled to the future, and we don't even know. But anyway, back to the question. Yeah. You don't know if we don't know.
It doesn't matter if we don't know.
I know, but I want to watch the tape.
Don't do it, because then you have to forward it to other people.
No.
Or else the ghost
different tape.
Kill you.
No, oh. When I'm old enough, I get to watch the tape after I did it, which means I don't need to watch the tape. No, but my future self will do it. Anyway, yeah, I feel like the past. I think because I have again, as a sort of as an anthropologist and a social scientist, for me it's not about visiting my ancestors. Fuck those guys. It's about history, and in some cases religion, says this is what happened. I want to go see.
Sure.
Because especially as I get older, and especially as there's now new evidence suggests that, you know, Gandhi was an asshole. New evidence suggests that actually Jesus was a potted plant, and they made up the rest of that. You know, shit like that that comes
Jesus
up all
Groot?
The time. There we go.
Wow.
Yes. Which makes the size of the Bible even weirder. Like, that's too many words.
It's in too much paper.
Yeah. But, yeah, I want to see what really happened.
Yeah.
You know, and as, especially there's a lot of things that decided by the winter. So there's a lot of stuff that my forebears, in being white Western men, supposedly did all this cool stuff, and then over time we get little bits. It's like, huh, was it really? You know, so I get very curious. And then just, you know, dude, what did he look like? That guy, you know, what did Charlemagne actually look like? I've seen the art. Artists back then were not that good. I want to actually see what these people look like. You know, I want to see 5'6", wiry-haired black Jesus, because that's Jesus, so I want to see that. Not, you know, Jim Caviezel Jesus or John Corbett Jesus. Let's be honest. Modern Western Jesus is basically John Corbett.
When I had long hair and beard, people thought I looked like...
Yeah, but you were a ginger.
That's true.
Yeah, Jesus was not a ginger. Like, one of the Apocrypha specifically mentions that. I'm just like fat Jesus, but I don't think that counts. But not morbidly fat Jesus.
Jesus is getting a lot of press in this episode. I just have to say that.
Oh, I think the title is going to be Morbidly Fat Jesus. So, yeah. So I think also the past, just because I'm curious. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have, like, if somebody's like, sorry, you can only do the future, I'd be like, okay, I'll check that out too. Like, I'm not opposed. In fact, given my druthers, I'd probably do both.
I don't know. I just, something about going to the future is like, okay, like, this is a future. It would never feel real to me. Not like the past.
I don't know if any of it would, because, you know, I've never done it, so.
You know, it might weird. Also, I never think of, I always think of going back and telling my younger self something that I wish my younger self had known. I never think of going forward to visit my older self so I can get some of his advice to tell me what, I mean, I never think of it like that. But
that's
it's the same thing.
Your younger self is a punk.
No, but logically it's the same thing, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to go into the future and I'm going to get information from that guy to tell me what mistakes to avoid. Well, that's no different logically than me going back and warning my younger self of stuff that I know about. So why wouldn't they be the same to me, but they're not?
I have had times, but it's more answer some questions for me, future self. And it usually has to do with major trauma. And I'm like, is this ever going to get better? Like, do I get over this? Sometimes I want to ask future self.
Here's what it's about. It's about, I don't want to know what the future self has to tell me. But I think that if my younger self knew what I knew, he would want to know. Because he also doesn't want to know. And if I showed up, he'd say, look, I don't want to know. I'd say, yeah, you do. You want to know this.
Well, then see.
But see, the same logic goes the other way. But
I was going to say, you should trust
future I know, self. I know. But I don't.
Well,
I'm just really biased, I guess.
If it makes you feel any better.
I've never really thought about this before.
So I don't trust present you.
No, I know.
I'm like, you know, if I could go in the past, I would tell William, don't do a podcast. It's going to ruin you. Also,
it's gonna ruin
keep
you.
Your hair long, goddammit. Your hair was gorgeous when it was long.
It was weird how...
I got genuinely pissed off when you cut your hair.
Like, when it's longer, it's clearly red, isn't it?
It's clearly red, and it is fantastic.
And
it is fabulous.
My beard matches its red, although now if I grew it out,
the
you'd
carpet
say it's got some gray.
Matches the drapes.
Oh, stop it.
On your head. Your head drapes. I'm talking about your head drapes.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. A lot of my gray hair comes in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I ever thought of it until you had the long hair. Yeah. And then it was like, holy shit, because it was really red.
Yeah.
You don't have the pale skin and near albino eyes and freckles that are associated with most gingers.
When I was a lot younger, the freckles were a lot more prominent than they are now.
But now you wear a lot more makeup.
No, if you look close or pay attention, you'll see there's plenty of freckles there. I'm actually really sensitive to the sun, too, as I've probably mentioned.
Well, you come from... What? I know I'm going to regret asking this, because normally I'm trying to get you to stop talking about this. But what kind of stock do you come from?
Swiss.
The Swiss particular? I guess, yeah. Okay.
Heavily on my mom's side, Swiss.
But Swiss isn't a thing.
Well, it's German.
Swiss is just, yeah, I was going to say it's just German
and some Italian.
French,
yeah.
It's where they met in
sure,
the middle.
Sure.
So.
But
mostly German.
Mostly
the
German Swiss, right. Yeah. On my mom's side, heavily, heavily that. And on my dad's side, heavily Northern England.
Okay.
And Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
The rights come from Northern
That'll
Ireland.
Give you some pale skin there yeah. and some terror of the sun.
So yeah.
Yeah, you're sort of what the gingers call a daywalker, I think. Did you ever see that episode?
No.
There's an episode of South Park where Cartman gives a science presentation on gingers and how they're not really human and they're this other species and they can't go out in the daylight and all this stuff. And they bring up Kyle because Kyle has red curly hair. And like Kyle's only half ginger. He's what they call a daywalker. And they get and the other boys, as often as the kids, get really mad at this prejudice that Cartman is showing, and so they decide they're gonna get him. And they sneak in when he's asleep. And they put makeup on him and dye his hair and stuff to make him look ginger. And convince some doctor to say, like, sometimes it happens later in life. And stuff like that. And what he ends up doing, I mean, he gets shunned and stuff because he basically got all the kids to think gingers were freaks. And so now he got this. And he ends up basically starting a cult of gingers that are going to, like, take over and kill off all the non-gingers. And yeah, and it keeps coming up about the Daywalker, which is Kyle.
Why is he a daywalker? Because he can pass as a non-ginger
like
I can?
Because he's like half ginger. Because he has the hair, but his skin isn't as pale, and he doesn't have the freckles and stuff. So, yeah. No, it comes up during the science. I forget the exact explanation, but yeah, he's the daywalker. He's only like half ginger.
Well, unless I grew my beard, and now there's so much gray in it, you probably couldn't tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless I grow my beard, you're not going to see, or grow my hair out, like you said. Yes. You can't tell that I'm ginger. I was born with really red hair. My dad tells this story all the time. They brought me home from the hospital, and his dad was pretty upset about it.
Really? Yeah.
He did not like it at all. Interesting. I had my first haircut when I was like 3 days old.
Jeez.
Cut all that hair off.
I was blonde until I was probably 6 or 7.
Well, it grew back blonde. But I think it
little
was...
Little kids have blonde a
with,
lot.
With a slightly red tint, like in the sun, you know.
Strawberry. I even have a little red, especially in my beard, in the sun, I get a little bit. Although that's getting covered up by gray.
I think one of my other brothers has
Daryl.
Some red in his beard when he grows it, but I'm not sure. I think I might be the only one in the family.
My mom has a lot of red in her beard. No, that's a lie. That's entirely blonde.
But most people who consider themselves gingers wouldn't consider me one.
No. Ginger's a very amorphous term. Like, some people just consider redheads gingers, and that's not, by a lot of people's terms, accurate.
Yeah, you got to have the whole thing. The hair's got to be really red. Like you said, pale skin.
Usually a lot of freckles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we are at time, and we got to do another one of these, so let's call it good. If you'd like to tell us your opinion...
Why were we talking about that?
...on time travel and red hair, and if you can combine them, I'll enjoy that. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, write the hat. Everyone write the hat. It is important that you write the hat. We need to do a telethon. I want to do the equivalent of a PBS telethon, but people need to pledge questions. Like, for your pledge of just one question, we will send you a tote bag.
But we won't do that.
No, we will not send you a tote bag.
So why would they write in a question for a tote bag?
Because we fool them into thinking they will.
Oh.
We lie.
Okay.
So do it.
Okay.
Write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and we'll send you a tote bag. Offer not valid in everywhere. I probably should have been closer to the stop button. Now they're going to figure it out.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.